Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Selah. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call.
It is great to be with you. Debbie and I and family are doing well. Debbie continues to be a teacher, second grade teacher. I serve as a chaplain in the Free Church Nursing Home. And for those of you who we haven't met yet, we were here almost for 2 years, 22 months, before Pastor Andy came as the interim. In that time, there was a little thing called COVID-19. Do you remember that? We went through that battle together. And we're here today. And I don't know about you, but there's other battles too, aren't there? You ever feel like that, that the Christian life is just a battle? Well, you're not alone, because that's how the Bible describes it. Right? That every day we face three enemies. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Right? The devil tempting us. The worldly system opposing godly values and truths. And our old sinful nature. Just wars against our Christian nature. And the flesh is weak. I like what this guy said. The flesh is weak. The world is wicked. And the devil is woeful. But the Bible also says that God gives us a victory. Well, mix all that together, and that's what life on earth is like. Even our worship music reflects that. We sing hymns like Onward Christian Soldiers, or like the one we sang today, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You know who wrote that song? Martin Luther. 500 years ago. Church has been singing that hymn for quite a while. And we have choruses like that too. What did I think of? The battle belongs to the Lord, the God of angel armies. And so, what are we to do? The Bible reflects and kind of gives a realistic picture. So how do we proceed? How do we live our Christian life like that? Well, our psalm today is going to help us. The opening line, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Psalm 20. Why Psalm 20? Easy answer, it's the next psalm. Andy preached from Psalm 19. I teased him. I said, Andy, there's 150 psalms. So if you do one every Sunday, that's 3 years. goes, yeah, that's not my plan. I'm like, okay, that's, but he's, you're kind of working your way through. There's lots to learn from the book of Psalms, isn't there? Well, Psalm 20 talks about victory. It's a very realistic but very positive psalm. And it's interesting, Psalm 20 and then the next psalm, Psalm 21, go together. Both written by David, both prayers. Our psalm, Psalm today, Psalm 20, is before the battle. Psalm 21 is after the battle. Psalm 20 prepares for victory. And then the next psalm, Psalm 21, reflects on that and gives praise to God for the victory. Before the army of Israel went out to battle, the Jewish law of warfare in Deuteronomy 20 had required the officers and soldiers and the whole army to gather for sort of a consecration and a commitment to the Lord. Many commentators think that this psalm sort of reflects that. It's before the battle. Now, this morning we're not praying for our country as it goes to war. But it's right, and we have, to pray for our country, like the Bible commands. This would all, psalm would also be a good message for an ordination of a pastor or a commissioning of a missionary off to the battle. But it also fits you and me as we face our own battles. Right? As we go off and battle against the devil and his evil forces, or we battle against our own private demons and habits and addictions and faults, as we battle against sin in the world. So what's your kind of default reaction or response to battles, to fights, to obstacles? When things happen, what do you usually do? Fight? Flight? Just run away. Or you freeze. You're not sure what to do. Well, our psalm today is going to give us some help. I'm going to just give you three words. First one is your prayer. David and the people of God, of course, prayed, just like we do. And it wasn't their last resort, but it was a common thing in their Christian life. And it's always encouraging to know that not only God, you know, hears our prayers, but he's ready to answer. In 9 verses, that's our psalm, 3 times it talks about God answering. The first verse, the last verse, and in the middle, verse 6. God, answer us. Well, what should we pray? What kind of answers are we looking for? Well, let's just jump in. Verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. You can pray that God will shield you. You see that protection in the day of trouble? I find it interesting that he harkens back to the name of the God of Jacob. Guy in the Old Testament. Kind of had a checkered past, if you know his story. Even his name, Jacob, means deceiver or schemer. And sure enough, all the chapters in Genesis that kind of follow him bear that out. But even when Jacob, or the whole nation of Israel, wasn't following God like they should, maybe taking things into their own hands, trying some manipulation. Even then, God is still watching out for them. David takes these past victories. You delivered Jacob. God, we remember that. He takes a past victory and helps him as he faces this current battle. I think that's helpful for us. We can think back in the Bible or even in our own lives. God, you You protected me. You shielded me. And I need that again. I need that now. I think one of the surprises in heaven for us might be those times that God protected us and we didn't know it. It could have been a lot worse. We were either clueless or we were running the wrong direction or we didn't even kind of see that God was at work, but he was. So he prays, God, shield us. God, strengthen us. May he send you help from the sanctuary. See, the reality is sometimes God takes us out of troubles and trials. Oftentimes, he takes us through them. And for us to, I don't know about you, but for me, I need God's strength to get me through that. God, I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. I don't know what battles you're facing today. But you know, we all have them. But let me encourage you, God is strong enough to get you through. It's too soon to quit or to give up or to jump to conclusion, oh, God's not at work. He's not hearing my prayers. No, he is. Hang in there. Because God will shield you. He will strengthen you and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Offerings were for thanksgiving, thank you, God, and kind of a dedication. Burnt offerings were sin offerings. See, sometimes, and not always, the trouble that we're in is because of our sin. Don't jump to that conclusion, but sometimes it is. It was David in Psalm 66 said, if I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So if you and I are facing a battle, one of the things we need to know and make sure of is that we're in good standing with the Lord. Now, not receive salvation over and over and over again. The Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible does teach us that we need to confess our sin. Repent, you know, go change our direction, and go to the Lord, ask him to forgive us and help us. God, may you support us. And then one other in verse 4, may you save us. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Now, there's a bunch of pronouns in there, he and you, your. The people are praying for the king. And who's the king? David. So they're saying, they're praying for their king, that God would bless his plans as he leads the army out into battle. If the king's leadership is going to be strong in battle, he needs to have a strong spiritual life first. And that's not only true of military leaders. That's true of leaders in government, school, and in church, of course. And so we pray for those leaders. We pray for pastors and evangelists and missionaries and organizations and officials who serve there. God support them, save them. So if you want victory in your battles, you pray. In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul takes on this whole battle imagery. We won't turn there. But he talks about putting on spiritual armor. Do you remember that? Like a Roman guard. And he's not talking about physical pieces, but spiritual truths and applications. And the last one, he put on all this armor. And then here's how that passage ends. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So that's part of our spiritual weapons, so to speak, to fight, is we pray. All right? How do we pray? Let's talk about our confidence, your confidence, my confidence. We pray, but not in fear or doubt. Right? We're expecting a victory. If you're on a sports team and you go on an athletic competition, and before it starts, kind of going into it, you say, we're going to lose. You know what? You probably will. But here, he says, that's not what we're planning. That's not what we're trusting. We have confidence. Like what? Well, in God's answers. Look at, may we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. The people had prayed in verse 1, God, hear us. And now in verse 6, he says, I know the Lord will answer. Raising their banners, that each tribe, 12 tribes of Israel, right? When you raised your banner and waved it, that was a sign of victory. And they do it with, they shout for joy over how God's going to give them victory. And in the name of our God. Name means more than just, well, we got to call him something, you know, a label. Name means character, who this person is. So in this case, who God is and what God can do. That's where our confidence is. So they're remembering that God helped them in the past, and now they're going into another battle. And they say, well, we're confident in God's answers. Now, this is not just the power of positive thinking, or I'm going to sort of psych myself up. That only goes so far. And then we fall. No, this is, I'm confident in God, in his answers, in his ability. Look at verse 6. I know, and not I'm hoping, or boy, I guess, boy, it's a chance. No, I know that God can do this and that God will do this. In verse 2, they were asking help from Jerusalem or Zion, kind of a term for that. But David knows, and you and I know, that God's real throne is where? In heaven. And look how he describes his confidence in God's ability. God's going to answer from holy heaven with his saving might and skillful from his right hand. That's how God's going to do this. So in the midst of struggles, we pray, don't we? And how do we pray? With faith? With confidence? Yeah, I think we can. Not cocky or presumptuous or, God, I'm going to tell you what to do. But of just a quiet and strong confidence in God's answers and God's ability. These last couple of verses flow very logically and consistently kind of to end. Now he's going to have an affirmation. That is something he declares, he confesses. Maybe it's out loud to other people. Maybe it's just like you and I do sometimes, just to ourselves. What do I believe? What am I counting on? How am I going forward? He's going to affirm a few things. He says, here's one thing I'm going to affirm. I will continue to trust God. And it doesn't look good, though. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The enemy had horses and chariots. Now, in those days, that's a huge advantage, isn't it? They can run you over and cut you in half. You remember another story in the Bible, in the book of Exodus. Moses had led the people of God out of Egypt onto the promised land. But then here comes Pharaoh and his army with horses and chariots. And then the people of Israel, they're backed up against the Red Sea. And the horses and chariots are coming. Right? You remember this scene? You've seen the movie, right? It's pretty dramatic, even on film, you know. Right? God parts the Red Sea. And they walk through. And then the Egyptians go, boy, I don't know how that works, but let's chase after them. So they go into the Red Sea. And what happens? God closes over the waters over them, and they all drown. The odds were against them. And David says, even though whatever enemy, there were lots of battles that David fought with Israel, command, as the commander. Even though they may outnumber us 5-1, 10-1, you know, I don't know. We're not going to trust that. We're going to trust God. Those people, they're going to collapse and fall. But us, we're going to rise and stand upright. I'm going to continue to trust God. Now, that doesn't mean that Israel did nothing. Well, we'll send our 5 weakest guys out there. That's it. No, they made preparations. They did their part, what they knew to do, what they were supposed to do. Sometimes what we bring to the table can be pretty meager, can it? Remember in the New Testament and the feeding of the 5,000. If I told Debbie tonight we're going to have 5,000 people for dinner, she probably won't ride home with me. She, you know, I don't, you know, how do you feed that many people, right? Well, one of the disciples found this little boy who had his lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all I got. Well, anyone, even if you're not good at math, is going to realize, that's not going to work. But if you know the story, Jesus multiplies it and feeds 5,000 people. And they even had leftovers. So it wasn't like, hey, only take a bite. We don't have enough. Nah, they have plenty. Other times, we can feel pretty confident, maybe even overconfident. We don't pray, or maybe a token prayer, but you know, but I got this, Lord. It's all up to me, and I'm good. Well, whether we have a little or a lot, we still need to trust God, don't we? To continue to trust God. Now remember, all of this is before the battle. I mean, they didn't see it coming or whatever, but they're not in the battle yet. They're looking, they're anticipating. David says, we're going to continue to trust God. He also says, last verse, I'll continue to pray. Oh Lord, save the king, is what the people say. May he answer us when we call. Sure enough, there will be more battles for David. There's more for you and I. But we need to keep praying. The psalm starts with a prayer, and it ends with a prayer. It's faith and prayer kind of all the way through. You don't stop praying once the battle starts. You keep praying, right? Fact is, you pray before the battle, during the battle, and after the battle. But that's his confession, his commitment. I'll continue to pray. God's people will continue to pray. So you and I, we pray during our troubles, don't we? We pray, God, give us the victory. I don't know what that might look like for you. Maybe you need to pray for wisdom about that struggle and battle at work. Maybe you pray for discernment. Lord, I need to make some choices and I need discernment and wisdom from you. Lord, I'm praying and trusting you for strength to help me change that attitude or overcome that addiction or do what I need, what I know I need to do. Lord, I need perseverance to keep me going. This battle isn't just one day. It's every day. So Lord, give me victory. I guess I'll have to pray that every day. Yeah, that's okay. That's a good prayer. I'll continue to pray. So that's our song of victory. Gave you three words. Your prayer, your confidence, and your affirmation. I think about our country and its history that have had many battles and many prayers for victory. We just celebrated the 4th of July, where we, of course, celebrate our independence. But that didn't come easy, did it? Both on Debbie's side and my side, our families go back quite a ways. In fact, both of us had relatives that fought in the Revolutionary War on the American side. Maybe you know a name of one of Debbie's ancestors, Betsy Ross. She still has Rosses in her family. I didn't grow up in Minnesota. I grew up in Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. And one of the places that I've been to a bunch, it's a place called Valley Forge. This is a painting entitled Prayer at Valley Forge by the artist Arnold Frisberg. And it depicts that terrible winter from 1777 to 78. It was cold. They were running out of food and medicine. Some soldiers didn't even have shoes. It was a very difficult winter. Valley Forge is a national state park now, but you can kind of see it's just sort of open territory, open ground. There's no buildings there. That winter, the soldiers had tents and kind of built some log cabins kind of or whatever, but basically endured a tough winter. Interesting thing about Valley Forge, there were no physical battles fought there. But I believe there was a great spiritual battle that was fought. As, well then, General George Washington who became first president, George Washington. Pray. What did he pray? This is attested by several friends and people that, soldiers that watched him and heard him. Let me just read the prayer. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou will keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou will incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another, for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou will most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. Without a humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Think that prayer made any difference? I think so. Obviously, the troops did survive that winter. And that spring, the war turned around to our favor. And we did win the victory. And we did gain our independence. We all face battles, don't we? Sometimes they're on a national level. Sometimes they're more personal. So we look to God. With prayer, with confidence, with affirmation. I'm going to invite the worship team up for our final song. Hope has a name. That's kind of what we're talking about, right? Hope. That's what you need in the midst of a battle. And it's, you know, when the Bible uses the word hope, it's a lot stronger than when we use it. Like we say, I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope the Twins win today. That's iffy, right? The Bible doesn't use the word hope like that. The Bible uses hope as a guarantee, as a secure promise, something you can count on. Hope. Let's sing about that.